EA Capital, in partnership with the Finalto Group, are offering an exclusive cash bonus to individual and retail clients. Get 30% extra cash on initial deposit directly into your trading account upon signing up on the Markets.com trading platform, which offers CFDs on shares, Forex, commodities, and ETFs. The minimum investment amount required to open an account and start trading CFDs is $1,500. Upon signing up, you will gain access to educational material and a demo account. Trading CFDs carries a considerable risk of capital loss. EA Capital and Finalto South Africa Pty Ltd are registered financial service providers and are licensed by the FSCA respectively. Terms and conditions do apply.
To advertise, email podcast@thisismechi.com. Release yourself from order and logic and enter a new place. It's not work. It's not home. Here, no maps have been drawn. No books have been written. Nothing is certain. Everything is possible. Welcome to podcast and chill with Matt G.
I'm assuming this doesn't end well.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome our friend of the show, Dr. Bruce Lelala.
Thank you.
How are you, doctor?
I'm good, and you?
Oh, man. Thank you so much for coming through, doc.
Thank you for having me.
I've got so many questions for your profession. I'm so intrigued. I got so many questions. Even Chiller sent through questions. And before we get into them, let me introduce you to Dr. Bruce Lelala. He's an esteemed plastic surgeon, reconstructive anesthetic surgeon as well. In 2019, Dr. Lelala became the only second Black South African to qualify as a plastic and reconstructive surgeon at the University of Cape Town.
Oh, wow.
That's true, right?
That's true, yes.
Round of applause for that, man. Are people hesitant because you are Black? Like, hey, who's a tatama shortcuts? No. What's the response like when they find out that you're Black?
Well, you know, I think things are changing. I think the times have changed. And our African people, they feel more comfortable with a Black plastic surgeon.
Yeah.
You know, they can, you know, they come out easy, they are open. And also, they feel that, you know, they feel like you understand them. Mm. Yeah. For example, if someone has a skin condition, they will say, okay, I feel like I should come to you because you will understand. Like the other day, I had a patient who had burns. And she said that instead of going to a white surgeon, I would prefer to come to you because you understand, you know, the dynamics of a Black skin.
Yeah. And what?
So,
burns?
Yeah, it's just hot water burn on their face.
On the face.
Jeez.
So yeah, no, things have changed, and I get to see a lot of patients also who've been to the white surgeons who'll come to me for other things.
Yeah,
including corrective surgery. Yeah.
Wow.
When I was a kid, and I remember when I was with Michael Jackson, then I heard plastic surgery. You know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a dumb thing, but I was a kid. I thought maybe why plastic? Does plastic what? Is there plastic involved?
It is a legit question. Well, our speciality, the name plastic, is actually a Greek word that means plasticos.
Oh.
And plasticos means to form or to mold.
Oh.
So, yeah. Hence, plastic surgery. So, there's a lot of art in it, and there's a lot of, like, McGee said, reconstructive surgery as well. So in a way, we are artists.
So you're like a Greek god.
Remodeling. I get you. You're like remodeling.
Yes. Yeah. Molding and forming, reforming things.
Can you give us like a brief background of yourself and how you got into this? Just a brief one.
Okay, brief one. So I'm from Atatiele. That's my home. I grew up in Matatiele, and then from there, I did my undergrad in KZN. And from KZN, I moved to Joburg, and from there, I decided to specialize. And then I got accepted after a long journey to UCT as the second Black plastic surgeon. And then after there, I went to the UK to sub-specialize.
Wow.
And then I came back last year, March, and that made me the only Black microsurgeon in the country at the moment.
Wow.
that fellowship. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's been a long journey. Yeah. So me getting into plastics, that's another whole story. I don't know whether you want to hear it.
Yeah, we want to hear. Why did you want to get into this in this field?
Okay, so post ComServe, I had a very bad community service year, and then I wasn't sure what to specialize in, but I always knew that I wanted to specialize. So post-ComServe, I did my ComServe in the Eastern Cape, so it was a very rough year. So I came back this side, and I've always been fascinated by my friends who are, you know, lawyers and economists, and you know, them wearing suits going to work. And
yeah.
So I've always, you know, thought maybe one day I should do a business degree or something. So I came back to Joburg after my ComServe, and then.
What's ComServe?
Community service.
Community services.
So once you qualify as a doctor in this country, so you do 2 years of internship, and then afterwards you do a year of community service, which is usually in the rural.
Oh, I see.
So so I came back, and then that year, the following year, then I decided to go to Gibbs. So I registered with Gibbs, and I did my postgrad diploma in business administration. So while I was there, I got headhunted by one of the companies, pharmaceutical companies, to be a medical advisor. So I joined the company, and then so that company sponsors the Smile Foundation.
Mm.
So the Smile Foundation deals with babies who are born with cleft lips and palates.
Mm. Sure.
So so one of the missions that year, I was asked to go and be a representative for the company, and it was a group of plastic surgeons who were offering these operations to a number of kids. And then after my exposure to that, I was like, flip, I found my calling.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I found my calling. This is, you know, it was an eye opener. Like, this is what I do. And then afterwards, I did my research, and then I was shocked to, you know, to discover that there are very few plastic surgeons in the country. And I think at the time, there were probably maybe 4 or 5 plastic surgeons, black plastic surgeons in this country.
Damn.
And then, came back, and then I had a meeting with my boss, and I said, Eamon, I'm resigning. I'm going back to specialize. So they offered me more money to stay. But I was like, no, man,
it's my calling. I have
to go back, yeah. Because at that time also, you know, I was in corporate, and I started, you know, missing patients. I started missing the hospital. And hence, I believe when they say, you know, medicine is a calling. So yeah, the following year, then I resigned at the end of that year. Then I went back. So I got to vets, and I did my medical officer time in plastics. And then while I was there, then I applied to other universities. And I was told, you know, I'll never get into plastics.
Mm.
Firstly, because of my skin color, and also because of the competition. Because most universities, like I train in Cape Town. I was very fortunate to get in, but I, you know, I worked hard for it. So,
if there's 4 in the country, black, white, how many are there?
So, at the moment, currently, I think there's about around 200 plastic surgeons in the country, and the numbers have improved.
Yeah,
the last time I counted, there was probably about 22 of us now.
Oh, okay.
So things are slowly improving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are the guys in Turkey better than you? Because if there's so many, why are people going to Turkey? We've heard so many ladies going there for BBLs. Yeah. And why?
I think without discrediting Turkey, I think it's easy to have your op done in terms of finances.
Oh, it's cheaper there.
Very, very cheap, yeah.
Oh.
So medicine in Turkey, or the healthcare system in Turkey, it's subsidized. So it's very cheap for doctors. It's way, way affordable, unlike in our country, especially the private sector. So,
and how much are we charging here? What are the figures?
So it varies. There's a number of factors.
Of course.
But on average overhead, if you look at the big groups, like your big private hospital groups, they charge, in fact, everything in private, you get charged per minute.
Jeez.
So if I'm going to take you for a 4-hour procedure, and they charge 300 rand a minute, so you can do the maths. So it, Yeah.
She was charging
and
me.
And also, I think...
Is that just the hospital fee?
That's just the hospital fee, yes.
How much is it? Please do the calculations. So 300 for 4 hours.
Then there's still the doctor's fee, right?
There's still the doctor's
fee. Yes! You guys are killing it, eh?
The anesthetist.
How many years did you study for?
Sure. It was... So you do 6 years of medical school.
Yes.
And then after that, you do 2 years of internship and then 1 year of community service. And then afterwards, you have to do at least 1 or 2 years of medical officer time before you get a reg post, a registrar post in general surgery.
Wow.
And in general surgery, you have to do about 2.5 to 3 years of general surgery. That's where you learn, you know, the basics of, you know, basic principles of surgery. And then once you pass your second exam, so you write your primary exam and your intermediates. Once you pass that, then you wait for a post in plastics. And mostly, I mean, Cape Town, they only train 5 plastic surgeons at a time.
Wow.
And it takes 4 to 5 years for a plastic surgeon to qualify in this country. So you can imagine how tough it is to get in.
Yeah.
And it's not only an issue in our country. That's how it is worldwide.
Worldwide. Okay.
Well, in most countries. So
we just did the calculation.
Mm-hmm.
4 hours, 300 a minute, 1.2 million.
Fuck, people pay that.
No, that's not
for
correct.
Come on.
It's 300 times by 60 and then times by 4.
Yes, yes.
1,200.
What are you guys doing? What are you smoking there?
1,000 rand.
What is it? Did you get it?
No, I'm confused.
So it's 300 times by 60.
By 60. Then
and
times
then times by 4.
Oh, no.
How much is it?
Hold on.
Hiya. Sorry, doctor.
Hey, did you hear how confident I was when I said 1.2? I was so confident.
72,000.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Hey, easy.
Hey, for a nose, that's still a lot of money. For a new nose.
All right, let me get straight to the chillest questions because there's so many. I'll try to get through as many as we can, right? What are the salaries people earn straight out of varsity to being a top surgeon?
Sure. So, well, to be a top surgeon, you still have to spend another 6-7 years to train.
Mm.
So straight out of varsity, you become an intern. So you're not a surgeon.
Yeah.
So I think interns nowadays, they earn probably between 35 and 40,000. And then it goes higher and higher as you progress in your career.
So if I progress, I become a top surgeon, how much are we looking at?
Sure.
In other words, he wants to know how much you
will.
Yeah, actually.
So
you must be prepared.
So there's no cap because it just depends on the month how hard I want to work, and so I'm booked. I'm fully booked like 3 months in advance.
Whoa.
So if I want to work more days, then that means more income.
But we're talking about the millions, ne? I think so. That's, yeah. That
laugh.
Because, I mean, look, 70,000 for 4 hours, right? So let's say in a day you do 3 patients. Please.
Maybe imagine. Two.
Two. Let's say two.
Let's say two.
Conservative.
And you can't do 7
do
days
a lot,
a week.
Huh?
Two, 7 days a week.
Okay, two. Ne? 7 days a week.
Ah, you can't do 7 days.
Okay, five.
Maybe 3 days. You know,
no, but like in between, you have to consult. You have to do post-op reviews. So let's say you'll operate maybe 2.5 days a week.
Okay.
Yeah.
So can you whip out the calculator there?
So 72 hours times how many operations, how many procedures for 4 hours a week? How many procedures
a
week?
Two. We'll do two in a day.
Two a day? Yes.
So times by 7?
No, not 7. Times by 3.
Oh, 3.
Yeah.
A week. Okay.
3 days a week.
But remember,
that's already almost 450K a week.
All right. Times it by 4 to see a month.
That's 1.7 million.
Doctor.
No, but...
Hey.
But you're calculating the hospital fees. That's not the surgeon's fees.
Oh, shit. Okay, so in that four-hour procedure, how much is the doctor walking away with?
The good doctor.
Yeah, man. We need, you know...
She just should have brushed up on the figures.
Well, that's what you do. You operate on the figures.
Drop this fucking shit. That's a good one. That's a good one. So, yeah. So to answer your question, you're looking at about an average of between 40 and 60,000 as a sessions fee.
Mm-hmm.
Per procedure.
Yeah.
That's
for,
amazing.
For those big cases, yeah.
James, man. Questions.
All right, next question. In your opinion,
hard to get to as well.
No, there's a quote and that obviously you studied for so many years to charge that per minute or per hour. You deserve it. True. And there's like a handful of you doing it anyway.
In your opinion, what are some of the most important factors a patient should consider when choosing a plastic surgeon?
Okay. I would start by going back to Turkey. If you look at Turkey, well, their population is slightly bigger than us. But if you look at the number of surgeons they have, they have over 2,000 plastic surgeons. So if your country can produce such a high rate of plastic surgeons, I would question the quality of the training. So, and then you come back home. I told you that UCT only trains 5 people at a time.
If you're able to come back home, you're not stuck under rubble.
That's too soon.
Hey, it's a fact, man. You know?
Yeah.
So you come back home.
So you can imagine then training 100 people at a time versus 5. And then also we have an association of plastic surgeons in this country. I think that's another safe place to start. You can Google your surgeon. The association is called APRASA. So and then from there, I think from my like my practice, I grew my practice from word of mouth. So if you have patients that can advocate for your work, then it becomes easier for you to grow your practice. And then also, I think, I mean, there are platforms. Most doctors have websites. I mean, you can request their previous work. Or when you come for your consultation, you can ask to see their previous work and stuff. But it is important to choose the right surgeon, especially for intricate operations. Because things can, even though it's a cosmetic operation, but things can go very wrong and people have died from cosmetics.
For real?
Yeah. People have died from cosmetics.
Do you have any famous people that you've worked on?
Yes. But I can't say the name.
Oh, client privilege.
What operations did you? You can't mention them, but you can tell us what procedures.
Yeah.
Did they want an extra ass? That's gonna, you know, give us a short list. We'll know who we're working with.
Or did they want maybe the BBL? You know?
Or did they want to look like a white girl?
Well, it's a combination of things. But most commonly, it's a liposuction. You know, 360 liposuction.
Oh.
What's that? What's a 360 lipo?
So 360 is when you do liposuction on the back to contour the back and then you come back to the front.
And
then you can give people abs. And
whoa, you can give people abs.
Yeah.
Don't think about it, Saul. Don't think about it. Don't do it.
Hey, Doc, we'll talk.
Yeah.
Doctor, bring the mark.
And also thigh gaps, you know, the thigh gaps.
Oh, they want that gap in between the legs. Yeah,
that's very popular. And of course, lots of breast work.
Ooh.
Sure. Next question. What is a Brazilian butt lift and how does it differ from other augmentation procedures?
Okay. So a Brazilian butt lift is a procedure where we take fat from other parts of the body. And then we prepare that fat and use it to augment your buttock. So we use your own fat. The other way of doing a buttock augmentation is by using silicone implants. So the Brazilian butt lift was pioneered by a guy. His name is Ivo Putengi from Brazil. So he's the one who started or who mastered the procedure. And then from there, it became popular worldwide. So that's the difference. That's the main difference. So the other form is we use implants. So if you don't have enough fat in your body, then we can use implants to augment. So Brazilian butt lift specifically means we use fat from other parts of your body to do the augmentation.
And then if someone has too much fat, what do? You just leave the fat there?
No, we throw it in the bin.
Okay.
Yeah, we throw it like for it goes for incineration.
Yeah.
Gee. Because remember, once you start taking fat from someone, you have to. We are very obsessed with symmetry, so I think you know we've been trained to perfect beauty and symmetry. So if I'm gonna take a liter of fat out of you,
yeah,
I have to take adequate fat so that your body's properly contoured.
Yeah.
So I can't stop now because I've taken a liter that I needed to do your butt lift. So I have to mold your body so that you don't say I've botched you.
Yeah. Speaking about botched, what does that even mean? Like when you botch an operation?
So yeah. So that's a very good question. Because some people after a cosmetic operation they get infection, they get, you know, the known potential complications. For example, you'll get fluid collection, what you call a seroma, or your wounds will break down, or you'll get a clot. So people will say, oh, I've been botched. So that's not been botched. So those are the expected potential complications. So when you have been botched, it's when your one nipple is here and the other one is pointing up. Then you've been botched.
Or your belly button.
Yeah.
You forgot to put it back.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
We forgot it by the chest. So,
that was so high.
So that's been botched. Yeah. Yeah.
So explain that. So the belly button. So you're telling me, what happens there? So do you take it out and remove it and then have to put it back?
No. So when you're doing a tummy tuck, so there's different types of doing a tummy tuck. So depending on the grading of the abdomen. So we grade the abdomen into four. So for grade ones, you can just do liposuction only to contour them. And then grade two, you can do liposuction and then what you call a mini tuck. And then grade threes, we have to repair the muscles as well. But, you know, in females, when they get pregnant, as the stomach grows, it displaces their rectus muscle. So the rectus muscle, they go on the sides and they end up with what we call a rectus diastasis. And that means that you have a permanent bulge now that comes from deeper into your stomach because your muscles are now legs and now you are left with a space in the middle. So in order to repair that, we do a full abdominoplasty where we open up all the way to your Zephyr sternum and then we repair the muscles. And then in doing that procedure, then you have to release the belly button. So you release the belly button. So you make an incision around the belly button. And it stands loose like that. And then you go past it. And then you repair the muscles and then you put it back.
Whoa.
In the ideal position.
Jeez, man. So
yeah.
No wonder you can pay the big bucks.
That's why it takes 4 hours.
Sure.
So yeah.
Craig,
so
have you ever had a case where you forgot the belly button?
No.
Oh, forgot the belly button. Press the panel button. Call it back.
So I want to know, doctor, regarding when you say that, obviously, that the muscle, how it just collapses.
Yeah.
So there's no way, no training you can do in order to get your muscle back.
No.
So it basically surgery is the only
way. Yeah. Okay. Once you have a full rectus muscle diastasis, then In fact, I've seen with twin pregnancies that where you even need a mesh to support the muscles. So you repair the muscles, but after repairing them, you have to put another layer on top of them to support them because they are so stretched and pliable. Yeah.
Can people donate fat for procedures? Because you said people take fat. You take fat from other parts of the bodies. What about the people without fat but don't want to use silicone? Can you then use fat from somebody else?
No, you can't.
Why?
No, you can't because your body, you know, the other person will react to your...
Also, the body can reject the fat.
Yes, correct. Damn. That's why when you donate blood, that's why we all have blood. Yes, blood types and groups. Yes. So you can only give your blood to someone who's your type. So, and in terms of fat, there's no way to test that. Yeah.
Oh, that's fat types. That's weird.
What advice would you give to someone considering a BBL for the first time?
So advice would be do a proper research. That's very crucial regarding your surgeon, because, like I said, people have died from these procedures. There was a time in Brazil where a number of patients died from BBLs purely because these procedures were now done by generals, you know, like by GPs, basically.
Whoa.
And also that's, yeah. So if fat gets injected in the wrong plane, it can go into your blood vessels. And once it goes to your blood vessels, then it shoots up to your lungs and into your heart and then up to your brain. And then you can die from that. It becomes a fatal operation. So that's very, very important to go to a qualified plastic surgeon who knows and understands the anatomy of your bum so that they don't inject the fat into the wrong plate.
Yeah, because then it's not a BBL anymore. You're just taking an L.
Yeah, so
BB, boy, bye.
and also, it's important for patients. In fact, not only for BB.
Sorry, Dunk. Sorry, man.
Yeah. So it's also important for patients, not only for BBLs, but cosmetic patients in general, to understand that you are going for a procedure that's going to alter your body shape, and also that there is a recovery process.
Yeah.
Beyond the operation. So most patients just think, oh, I'm healthy.
Yeah.
I'm just going to wake up tomorrow and go do a cosmetic operation. Yeah. And, you know, it's described in literature that those patients, they actually go through a phase of depression.
For real?
Yeah. Because now you are going through, you have these dressings on, you are swollen, and then, you know, days go by and you really can't see improvement because now, you know, you move from being normal to being transformed overnight. Now you have to change your wardrobe. Certain things don't fit you. Patients who've done breast work, now you can't wash your hair in the first few days because you can't lift your hands high.
So
those small things, you know, patients need to understand that it is going to change your life. You go for a tummy tuck, you are tight, you know, things are tight, you've been reshaped, you need assistance to get out of bed, for example, for the first few days. So, yeah, so those are important things that people need to understand before they...
What's the main cause of death with the BBLs? Because I know Kanye West's mom died in...
It was a liposuction. Yeah, with Kanye's mom.
Yeah, so there could be a number of factors that people die from. So firstly, it could be an anesthetic complication. So for example, if your BMI is high, your body mass index is high, firstly, it becomes difficult to incubate you. And then also, it can be difficult to ventilate you while you are under anesthesia. Because remember, once you're anesthesia, you are paralyzed.
You're not dead, ne?
No, you're not dead. You're just paralyzed. And then the anesthetist uses the machine to support you to breathe while the operation is going on.
So you're not breathing?
No, you're not. You are in a way, but you're assisted by the machine. So that tube that they have placed, if that tube gets misplaced, then that becomes a problem. And then also, depending on the type of operation, you can get clots in your legs if it's too long, if the operation is too long and your BMI is high, and those clots can shoot up to your lungs, like I said. And then also, you can bleed as well. If the bleeders are not controlled properly, you can also, that can also be fatal.
Whoa.
So there's a number of factors that are involved. But specifically for BBLs, most people have died from what you call fat embolus, where the fat gets into the bloodstream. Mm. Yeah.
Damn. Do you guys have a responsibility to tell people, let's say someone is too skinny, because I've often seen way too many like skinny girls, but now they've got a BBL and there's the thigh to ass proportion.
Hey.
The ratio is not make sure, it's not balanced, you know?
Yeah.
Do you ever tell someone that, no, this bum is too big for your body? That the bum that you, the desired bum.
No, it is our responsibility to do that. It is, it is. Because also some patients have unrealistic expectations, so you need to manage those. So yes, if someone is looking for a bump that's way too big for their body proportion, you have to point that out. Otherwise, in a way, you're going to botch that person.
What if they're adamant, though? Sorry.
Mm.
What if they're adamant and it's like, okay, I hear you, doc, but I just, this is what I want.
Then they can go to the next surgeon.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. Okay. Otherwise, that person is going to become your problem long term.
Mm.
Mm.
Case in point, Kim Kardashian, I mean, with all that money, still her thighs are too small for the bump, man.
Yeah.
In that case, what? Should there have been more? How would you remedy that? Let's say Kim Kardashian comes to you and says,
yeah,
I want my thighs to match my bum.
Well, there are things that you can do to augment those thighs. I think she has had so many operations that probably they used some of the fat from her thighs. But this is just an assumption.
Yeah.
Yeah, too. Because, you know, she's had a BBL before.
Mm.
So that could be the reason also.
True, and you don't have a medical the history to know exactly.
Yeah, yeah, correct.
And can you do BBLs for niggas?
Hi.
Nah.
I wouldn't
do that, but it can be done.
It can be done.
Yeah, it can be done.
Mm.
It can be done. But I...
Can you enlarge your penis? Through... No.
Are you asking for a friend? Or?
No, bro, I can stand. I'm good, bro. I'm fucking good. Hey, man. No one here can vouch for me, but I'm good, you know? But yeah. Is it possible to augment the penis size through surgery?
Yes, it is. Yes,
it and it is can still have erections and proper functionality?
Yes, yes.
Oh, whoa.
It can be. Yeah, it can be.
And have you done that before?
And, well, during my training, yes. But now I don't...
You've never had a patient?
Well, I've had, but it's not something I do often. So I prefer to, you know, things that I don't do often, then I refer to someone who does them.
Mm.
So with often. The BBLs and stuff, you take fat. So if you're going to do a penis, where do you get the rest of the flesh? Like the it's a muscle, right? It doesn't correct. Have fat, does it? Correct. So how do you... Make it longer or bigger.
So there are ways that have been described. So in some patients, we can take what you call PRP. So we draw blood from your blood vessels, we put it in a machine, a centrifuge, we spin it, and then we take the plasma, which is rich in stem cells.
Oh.
And then we inject that. So stem cells in the body, if you put them anyway, in your body, they transform into that tissue. So if you inject those stem cells into your penile muscles, then those muscles are going to grow.
Damn.
And then there's types of vacuums that are available in the market where you put those stem cells and then use a vacuum for 2-3 weeks.
What do you mean vacuum?
So during what's that process, so there's a penile vacuum. So you put,
like a Hoover.
Yes, it's not a Hoover, but it's like a negative pressure. So you put it inside your penis for maybe 20 minutes a day.
Whoa.
And then that...
Oh, is
that
it like causes, a pump?
Yeah, like a pump, correct.
Mm.
Like a pump. And also some people have injected fat because even fat has stem cells. So they've injected fat into the penis and those fat cells, they transform into muscle because they contain stem cells. And then also there are ligaments. So there are ligaments at the top of your penis. If you release those ligaments, you gain centimeters.
Wow. So
ligaments as in what? Foreskin?
No.
Oh.
At the top?
No, at the base. At the base of your penis. There are ligaments that's holding your penis.
So what can you alter? Is it girth, length, and even... direction, like
well,
some you know penises. Some are straight. These are very interesting. There's a chiller out there who wants to know, man. There's a chiller out there. There's a chiller out there who wants to know.
Ask Sonia.
Can you change the chain? No, because with ass you can choose. I mean, I'm sure you've got a chart of asses. That says white trucker size. You know, slimmer. You know.
Yeah.
Vast blank in different shapes. With penises, what can you do as far as changing it? Is can you change the shape, direction, the girth, the length?
Yeah, we can do that.
Whoa, yeah, man. That.
Remember I said when I started, I said our field is to mold, mold and
you're
form.
You're artists.
Yes. So yeah. We make dreams happen.
That's interesting.
So much. Yeah.
Could you tell us about a particular challenging case you've handled and how you approached it?
Sure. I think every reconstructive case is a challenging case, especially for patients who've had like cancer. So, for example, make an example of breast cancer. So, females, they lose their whole breast.
Mm.
And then we come in as plastic surgeon and then we recreate a new breast from scratch.
Bro. Mm.
So, that could be challenging. And then also, babies who are born with congenital malformations. You get babies who are born with big holes in their mouth.
Oh. Yeah.
So, you have to reconstruct that. Mm. And I would say in my career, what I've found very challenging is dealing with babies because they're such a precious,
fragile.
And also, I remember there was this time where there were conjoined twins. So their heads were conjoined. Ooh. And they were born somewhere in Lusikisik in the Eastern Cape. So because they didn't have the expertise in the Eastern Cape, those twins were transferred to Red Cross. And then we were involved in separating them. So that was a very stressful moment for us as a team. Yeah, they both lived.
Oh, wow. Were you alone or did you join heads with others?
So it was a team.
I saw it.
So that's a good one.
Dr. Bruce, who are you to judge me? Why are you judging me? That's a fucking approves. Get the fuck. Two hairs are better than one. Get the fuck out of here. Doctor knows.
No, you're right.
So you did all that by yourself?
No, we did join heads so we became a team with neurosurgeons. Neurosurgeons were involved. Man. Anesthetists were involved. Pediatricians were involved.
Oh, wow.
So it was a whole team. Social workers were involved. Psychologists. So yeah.
No, you guys are changing lives.
I would like to know if he has ever experienced load shedding while in the operation theater and a general overview of how load shedding is affecting his service.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, load shedding is a big problem. But fortunately, in our settings, we do have backup systems because, you know, we deal with lives. So we can't afford not to have oxygen flowing, you know.
But they don't load shed hospitals, though, right?
They do.
That's what
I've
heard. The urban myth is that. Oh, shit.
No, they do. But yeah, they were, I'm aware that past 2-3 months, they were trying to take public hospital off the load shedding.
Yeah.
Jeez, but it does happen. It does happen. But fortunately, it's just a split second for the generators to kick in. Yeah.
What is the difference between a tummy tuck and liposuction?
So a tummy tuck... So people who come for abdominal rejuvenation, if I may put it that way, it's mostly patients who've had, like ladies who've had babies.
Yeah, yeah.
So now they have laxity of the muscle. They have excess fat and excess skin. So even males do that, to come for tummy tucks. So, so when you do a tummy tuck, you remove... the excess fat, you remove the excess skin, the tissue at the bottom, and then someone ends up with a scar along the panty line, a hidden scar along the panty line. So that's the major difference. So remember I said that you grade the stomach in
100%,
four.
Yes.
Yeah. So if someone has, they only have excess fat, but their skin tone is still good, then you can just do liposuction only, and then their skin will contract.
Hmm.
Usually it's young patients where the elasticity is still good. But the older patients who've had multiple babies, then you need to do a full tummy tuck. Mm-hmm. So a full tummy tuck is usually when you reposition the belly button, a full tummy tuck. Mm. So other people, you can just do a mini tummy tuck. Mm. Because if you have excess skin, after you've done a liposuction, that excess skin will actually be exaggerated because now you are flat here, so that skin will fall down and gets exaggerated. So you have to do an excision to take that excess tissue.
Yes.
And with all these operations, if you do a tummy tuck or BBL, whatever the case may be, and you still continue like with an unhealthy diet, does that impact the operation?
No, definitely. Definitely it does. It does. Mm. You have to maintain. So even after liposuction, remember that you at some point in your life, you stop producing fat cells.
Okay.
So you have a set number now of fat cells. So when you do liposuction, we remove most of those fat cells. Wow. But whatever is remaining behind can either shrink or increase in size. Oh. So if you've done lipo and then you gain more than 20 kgs, then your results are lost. So it's very important to maintain. So, for example, if you've done a BBL and you gain 20 kgs, then you're going to have a much bigger bum.
Yeah.
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 Well, that's important.
The bum grows in proportion to your weight gain.
Well, you've transferred the fat cells from one place to another.
Mm.
So when you gain weight, those fat cells also, they're going to gain weight.
Mm. What if now it's silicone?
Well, then silicone, you won't gain.
So when you can gain weight and your bum won't gain proportionally because it's not fat cells.
Well, the bottom line is that you shouldn't live an unhealthy
lifestyle.
The
bottom line is
you should live a healthy lifestyle gain weight.
But I heard when you're busy, silicone is not the one. Like it feels plastic.
Well, things...
it's not jiggly and...
Probably in the past. But now technology has improved significantly, and people now who have silicones, you can hardly tell.
Mm.
You probably came across a few and you didn't know.
Came in.
I love silicone.
The only silicone I know is the valley. That's it, guys. Talk to us about a mummy makeover.
Yeah. So a mummy makeover is, helping someone who's had babies and now they're done. And then usually, you know, during pregnancy, you get a lot of hormonal changes.
Mm.
And then you gain weight in different places. Mm. And then those patients will come to you for a mummy makeover. Mm. So usually mummy makeover will include liposuction, will include... tummy tucks will include.
So it's a package.
It's a package.
Yeah. Okay.
And so we start
from
as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So we start from the arms. We take out that fat from the arms. Mm. We take fat from your neck, submental area. We lift up your breasts. We do a tummy tuck. Obviously, we do this in stages. We don't do everything at once.
Can you remove the forehead? Make it smaller.
When you're a child, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
it's too late.
Whose forehead?
No, mine. You know my forehead is massive. Though.
What do you mean, dog?
No, it's not.
Are you insecure? But you've got a perfectly fine forehead.
Bro, I've been telling you. That's why I wear caps, my dog. It's too big.
Nah, bro, you've never.
He just has this weird insecurity. I don't know. Show the doctor.
Dog, you've got a consultation.
Hey, it's going to be a meme. Fuck you.
Wait, are the dreadlocks? Wait, are the dreadlocks for the forehead?
Doctor, bring the marker.
Fine. Tell us about his forehead. Does he have a big... You're a doctor. In your expert opinion.
No, man, he doesn't.
Your forehead is fine, bro.
Okay, cool.
Hey.
Please explain what a rhinoplasty is and if it is common in SA.
Okay. So rhinoplasty is, it can be a corrective surgery or it can be an aesthetic operation, cosmetic. So you get patients who've been involved in trauma. Someone gets punched, they fracture their septum, and then now they have nasal obstruction. Or you're in a car accident, you smash your face, and you get facial fractures, including your nose. So we can reconstruct you by doing a rhinoplasty, where we'll take a rib cartilage and then we support your nose
back.
So that can be a rhinoplasty. Oh. And then you get other forms of rhinoplasty where people complain about, you know, the hump at the back of, you know, at the dorsum of the nose or how the tip looks or how the size of their ala or the nose size in proportion to their face. Is also, that becomes an aesthetic rhinoplasty. So it is a common operation. It's been a very common operation amongst the white population. And then now we see it a lot also in the black population.
Wow, man. Explain, what is fat grafting?
Okay, so fat grafting, it's basically fat transfer. So you take fat from one place and then you...
Oh, like you said earlier. Yes,
yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. Does breast reduction or enlargement affect breastfeeding for mothers? Would you therefore recommend it for a woman in childbearing age who's also willing to have as many children in the future?
So let's start with breast reduction. So breast reduction, you know, it's a functional operation because patients, when they come for breast reduction, they're complaining about pain most times.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they carry a lot of weight on their chest. So they end up with neck and back pain. And some will end up with chronic headaches. They even have numbness in their arms of that weight. And on average, we'll take about maybe 3-4 kgs on someone's breast. And I think the most I've taken was 12 kgs.
Gee.
Yeah. So you can imagine that person. And then also in young...
12
you
know, kg?
Yeah, 12
of kgs boobs.
Of tissue. Yeah. Yeah. So we start doing breast reductions from the age of 13 because some of these kids, they get mocked in school.
Oh, yeah.
And we've had patients who've been raped because of breast size. Yeah. And then also some, they can't play sport because of the size of their breasts. And so it is a big issue, especially among the African population. It's a massive issue. So the techniques have improved significantly over the years. So yes, they are able to breastfeed with the techniques, you know, the techniques that we use currently. However, some patients we have, you find that they can breastfeed, but the milk is not enough. So they have to augment the breastfeeding. But yes, they are able to breastfeed. And in terms of breast augmentation, that doesn't affect your breast glands. So because if you're going to use a silicone, you put the silicone under the breast tissue. So that doesn't affect you producing milk at all. So that's not an issue.
Fat checker.
When you...
She wanted to reduce her breasts. Do you have a question for the good doctor?
Do you want to ask now?
Just, okay, cool.
Grab a mic then.
Okay, my first question was in regards to your tummy tuck, right? Yeah. You said that you guys make an insertion at the bottom of the stomach.
Yes.
So I'm asking in terms of women who have had C-sections, because that's also where they cut.
Yes.
When is it advisable for them to start going for the process of a tummy tuck or something with their stomach? Because I know that it takes time for them to heal from that operation.
Yes.
So them coming to you to reopen it, if that's what you're going to reopen, and have a tummy tuck, is it advisable? And when should they wait for that?
So for tummy tucks, remember I said that there's a lot of hormonal changes that happens during pregnancy, and it takes a while postpartum for that to cycle, and also for your body physiology to go back to your normal baseline, that takes a while. So the timeline between you giving birth to you having a tummy tuck is about 6 months. Yeah.
Even with the C-section?
Yes, even with the C-section, yes, correct.
Okay. Yeah. And then my second one, yes, it was in terms of full-chested women representing them. I was wondering about the breastfeeding situation. And another one was in terms of, I could say, I was told that after you've given birth, your breasts enlarge and they stay that way. So does that also be affected once you're done with a reduction? Like if I were to go for a breast reduction and I'm reducing my breasts, am I going to go back to this very same size that I wanted to reduce?
That's a good question. So, well, remember when you do a breast reduction, we take most of your breast tissue out. So whatever is left behind will not grow to what you had before the breast reduction. That's not possible. However, you still have fat cells within your breast tissue. So that can gain weight. Well, that can gain in terms of size. So what usually happens is that during pregnancy, your breast will be engorged because now the breast tissue that's left behind is producing milk. So as the engorgement, so during breastfeeding, your breast will be pecky and engorged.
Yeah.
And then once you stop breastfeeding, they will settle down. What you usually see is that after multiple pregnancies, then your skin gets
saggy.
Yeah, so your skin gets saggy. But in terms of size, you will still have a reasonable size. It won't go to your original size before the breast reduction. Then once that happens, the sagginess happens, then we do a different procedure that we call a mastopexy, where we just do the skin excision only to lift up your breast.
So it won't sag anymore?
Yes. Yeah.
Whoa!
So actually about that surgery, so, but I heard that, what are the chances of losing the sensation on your nipples?
So yes, so when you do a breast reduction, especially with the big reductions, because as you lift up the breast tissue, you do go through the nerves.
Yeah.
So with the very, very big reductions, you definitely go through the what we call the verruca septum, where your nerves come up to your nipple. So once you go through that, then yeah, you do lose sensation. In some patients, it will come back, but it usually takes about 9 months for it to come back post-op. And in about 1% of the population, it doesn't come back at all.
Oh, okay.
Same with losing the nipple. So about 1% of the population worldwide, they lose their nipple after a breast reduction.
Oh.
Because remember now, you're taking from down here to up here, and then the blood supply comes from your chest wall.
Yeah.
So the vessels that come within your chest wall to supply the nipple that's lying there. So as you mold the breast, things can happen. You can twist the pedicle. Mm. And then with the swelling, you can lose the blood supply to your nipple. And also other people have different anatomy. You find that their dominant supply is coming from lower than the usual expected position.
And what's happening there by the nipple? What's that sensation?
It's just the nerves.
Oh, it's the nerves.
It's the nerves, yeah. Oh. It's the nerves. And it's important. It's important for females. It's part of their sexual health.
Yeah.
Even
yeah.
men as well.
Yeah, yeah, even men.
They
yeah.
get very...
Yeah.
Yeah.
When they're excited.
It's the areola.
Yeah. Please ask him if he has ever performed... I don't even know how to pronounce this. Hymenoplasty.
Oh, hymenoplasty. Mm.
And whether there are any disadvantages to this procedure.
Mm.
What is a hymenoplasty, firstly,
so,
before you go on?
Yeah, hymenoplasty is it's basically making someone a virgin again.
Hey!
Oh, it's putting the hymen back. Yeah. The hymen.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Oh, you worked on Kelly Kumalo?
I wait. No,
I did.
I man, what's wrong with you?
Eh, me na gichi. Oh shit, that's crazy. That's possible.
It is possible.
Whoa,
yeah, it is described. It is possible, but I haven't done one. However, I have done vaginoplasties, where you tighten the vagina. Yeah, vagina tightening. And also there's another one called labioplasty. So some people, they have big labias.
Mm.
It affects their function.
No, yes, for real.
Because during coitus they experience pain.
Oh.
So we can
So the bigger it is, the more pain you
Wait, so big ladies with big vagina lips can have pain
during coitus, yeah.
Whoa. Because the vagina lips are so big.
Mm.
Whoa, whoa.
Yeah, so we can do a labioplasty for that, yeah.
What goes into making a vagina tighter? Because now, clearly it's not that... Because, I mean, I'm assuming as a man who has sex with women that the tightness is something inside, not outside. How do you enter inside and make the walls tighter?
Yes, we can do that. Yeah, we can do that. We can make them tighter.
Make the walls tighter.
So we mold.
Hey.
We can mold things. Yeah. Can
make but now, how do you know if it's sufficient tightness? You know what I mean? Like, now how do you know that now you're tight? Hey, oh, you're tight. That's how I'm coming. How do you know that now you're tight enough? Like, no, for real. This is a
That's valid a good question.
It's a valid question. Then you're like, all right, tight. tight. You're good now. How do you know if it's tight enough?
No, because we understand the anatomy. So you know what a normal-looking vagina looks like inside.
who normally then, comes? Okay, go on, sorry.
Yeah. Yes, so who?
Who normally, is it husbands who come with their wives and say, we want the tightness, or is it the woman who comes by herself and say, I want my tightness increased?
Well, very few couples, yes, they will come together to say, yeah, can you tighten the vagina? But mostly females, they will come alone. Well, most of my patients, they will come alone. Yeah.
But are there times that a female comes and you're like, but it's fine?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it's him who's not.
Yeah.
Like, you go, no. It's perfectly, with my understanding of the anatomy, it's perfect.
Yeah.
So he needs to consult and we will do the...
No, personally, you're 100% right. Because I've had patients who would come and say that. Oh, man.
Hey, doctor, you came on the wrong show.
I'm sorry.
Who'd come for a consult?
Yeah.
I want to make sure.
Yeah. Then you're like, don't bring your husband. Sorry, man. Bring
Yes, so there are females who would
arrive.
Yes,
pitch up,
pitch up for a consultation, and then when you go in detail, when you're taking history, you find that the husband has cheated. So now they feel insecure
with a much younger girl, right?
Yes,
maybe sometimes.
Yes, yes.
Oh,
and then same thing with facelifts as well.
How much is that, doctor? By the way, how much is that?
What
a facelift? The tightness of the vagina.
In terms of cost.
Yeah.
You're looking at about maybe 48,000.
Wow.
It's not quite. Yeah.
It's not.
So, yeah.
You said 72K is nothing. So. You got your answer.
But I thought vaginas were all the same.
They are the same in terms of the overall anatomical structure. But, yeah.
His vendor, I thought they were all tight. But you're the problem.
So there's ones that are tight and those ones that aren't, bro.
Yeah, bro. Well, yeah. Us guys with normal dicks would have experienced that, yeah. And some, if correct me if I'm wrong, because I've experienced a lady who's never given birth and stuff, but her vagina is not as tight as someone with even two kids.
Yo.
Yeah, this lady's given birth like 2-3 times and the vaginas are tight. That's just,
it's
what muscle. Is it? It's genes. It's just
it's not even, it's just the muscle.
Yeah.
Some muscles it can contract and obviously...
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, correct.
And so, some are just loose without even giving birth. It's not like there was something that came in before.
Exactly.
So after you give...
Came out.
After you give birth, can it still be tight or...
Well, there are specific exercises that I usually...
Kegel.
Yeah, advise for females to do. And those help to strengthen not only your vaginal muscles, but also your pelvic muscles.
Yes.
So it means after the baby comes out, it's not tight anymore, but you can do some, like you're saying,
correct.
To make it tight again.
Yes.
I know it's not your field of expertise, but after how long would a lady start seeing results or feeling or whatever results in Kegel exercises?
You mean from the time they start?
Yeah.
What is that? What's Kegel?
It's exercises. I don't know. It's like
contracting
squats,
the muscle.
Sort of.
Or like squats.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an exercise that makes you.
That's designed.
It's like you're flinching. You're flinching your muscles.
Yeah, but what does it look like? Are you doing squats or?
No,
well, there's different types.
You can do them while you don't even. No one will know that you're doing.
Oh damn! Oh, for real? Can do them seated? Yes. Are you doing them now? I didn't know you could do those. You're tightening your muscles. Whoa, fuck it out. Y'all are wild, man. For real.
That's how amazing women
are. It's multitasking.
Oh, wow. Can you please share some insights on the intersection between plastic surgery and mental health? I think you did to say you did say that people go through depression.
Depression
sometimes.
Yes. No, that's a very important question. And also, we have a subset of patients that have body dysmorphic disorder, which is a psychiatric condition So you have to be able to identify. In fact, we are trained to identify such, you know, that group of people, because they will hop from one plastic surgeon to another and they're never happy with their body.
So,
it is a mental.
All right, here's the last one. Can you talk to us about some of the most common misconceptions about plastic surgery?
Sure, there's a lot. There's a lot. In fact, I think our field is misunderstood. And also because I blame the media, because what they portray on TV and stuff as plastics, they only show 20% of what we do. There's a whole lot of what we do as plastic surgeons. Like I mentioned, that, you know, we deal with patients who've been involved in trauma, patients have been burnt.
Breast cancer,
and other forms of cancers. You know, we operate from head to toe. And also babies who are born with congenital malformations. So I belong to a team called Operation Smile, which is USA-based. So we go around the world offering our skills to disadvantaged kids from different countries, and we deal with patients who are born with congenital malformations, like cleft lips and palates. So there's a whole lot that we do, a lot. In fact, even within the medical fraternity, we are still misunderstood about what we do, because people, they only, you know, they only see the glamour side of plastics. So that's a big misconception.
And how come you haven't worked on yourself?
I can't work on myself. How can I work on myself?
But
I can't operate on myself.
But put another doctor to get your nose done. I don't know, whatever.
No, man.
Don't get high off your own supply.
However, I would confess that I've had Botox, though.
Oh, Botox.
Yeah, Botox.
Which one is that one, Botox?
So Botox is the one that helps you to remove the wrinkles on your... On your
face. That's why you look young.
Yeah.
Yeah, you look very like.
So I could do Botox, no?
Yes. So you can.
But you look good, man. Like you look, like, for real. It looks.
So yeah. So
like, pulled.
You can use Botox, and then there's another form called fillers. I don't know if you've heard of fillers.
Oh yeah, fillers.
So fillers are a volume replacement. So as we age, you lose volume on your face. So you can replace that volume.
What's volume?
Using filler.
What's like face volume?
Face volume, for example, you see this area here. So as you get older, you lose the tissue bulk or the tissue volume of that particular area. So your muscles shrink, your fat cells shrink, and then as a result, this part of the face falls down.
That's why old people,
that's why you see like people with a pronounced...
It's just aging. Yeah, the aging.
So it's the process of aging.
Oh,
yes.
I see what you mean.
So you can reverse that by replacing that volume with either fat or with fillers.
Hey, because we're getting a puza face, eh?
And also another thing.
I mean, it's like water, man.
Oh, yeah.
My other secret is also I have...
Can you fix puza faces?
Well, you can.
It's a good question, though.
But stop drinking.
Let me pause.
Oh, speaking about aging, why is it, you know, like that saying, black don't crack? What's going on with white people? Because the older they get, man, that skin just looks weird.
They age quicker than us.
Yeah.
A white man who's 40 looks way older.
Well, it's the skin type and the collagen. So in our skin, we have a different ratio of collagen. So there's about 5 types of collagen. So we have, in terms of ratio, we have a lot of collagen that the white skin won't have. Hence, that's why our skin elasticity is stronger than... Yeah, so they tend to age quicker.
Oh,
that's what I'm trying to say.
Wow.
Yeah.
Collagen.
I want to collagen. And give me credit.
What about, you know, like you get now collagen to drink, you know, those powders. Does it really work?
Well, in terms of aging, it hasn't been proven. But in terms of wound healing, that has been scientifically proven that it helps. If you have a wound and you are taking collagen supplements, that it helps. It helps to speed up your wound healing.
So it'll be like your powders you put maybe in your tea or your coffee.
Yes, it also comes in a tablet form. Some they sell it in serums. Yes.
I heard, man, I don't know if this is true, but I heard there's some white people, when they give birth to their children, they steal at hospitals, they steal black kids, like the placenta when the and then they use that placenta for, because they want the kid to have melanin or something like that. Sure. Have you heard about that?
No.
I know of the one woman who the family, I don't know if you know about this, the family sued some university, a medical university, where they did that. They took some of her cells or something.
Mm.
Please fact checker, please check this for me. Just say American black family placenta or cells sue university. Do you know that story?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lady, man. She had very special cells, and then they have been using them. So long. So, they had her as a patient or something, or brought her in and took all the stuff from her and started using it and helping people out there without actually telling the family. And when they found out, they sued. Very famous case.
Mm. Yeah, because you can take cells from the bone as well. You know, your bone marrow cells, that helps a lot with patients who have a specific type of blood cancer, leukemia.
Yeah.
So you can do a bone marrow a transplant for them.
And how powerful is melanin?
Melanin is powerful. That's why they say black don't crack.
Nah.
So it is. And also it protects us from the sun, from the damage from the sun. Hence, that's why the white people tend to get skin cancers than the black people.
Ooh.
Because we are protected by the amount of melanin we have.
Her name is Henrietta Lack. The family sued a biotech company for profiting from stolen cells. The estate of Henrietta Lacks has filed a lawsuit against Thermo Fisher Scientific, which sells commercial line of HeLa tissue, accusing the corporation of profiting from Lacks' stolen cells. So yeah, they've stolen some cells from this lady.
Mm-hmm.
Henrietta Lacks.
Mm, okay.
Lacks, L-A-C-K-S. You can check it out.
I'll check it out.
It's a very fascinating story I read one time.
Yeah.
What's the most challenging procedure you've had to do that someone asked and you were like, "Yo," or you didn't know, but it was just challenging to do?
Mm. I think the line of and the types of procedures that I do in terms of reconstruction, they are quite intricate and very, very challenging because we use microscopes. So so in the country at the moment, we have probably about 14 microsurgeons. And that's what I went to the UK to subspecialize in. And then currently, like I said, I'm the only black with that qualification in the country. So those operations, you're looking at about 10, 12 hours in theater. One operation where we transfer tissue with its own blood supply, with its own nerves, and we transfer that tissue to reconstruct another part of the body.
Mm.
And then we put everything together using the microscope. Mm. So that's very, very intricate and very challenging.
Sure. Ghost lady, you got a question?
Yes. I just want to find out which procedure is your favorite, or is procedure that you've mastered very well, that it's your thing?
Sure.
Penis enlargement. I think he likes that.
That's a great question, actually.
No, I don't. Yeah. So,
whoever has an issue with this, come to me.
I'm the guy. For this. Big dick, better call doctor.
Dr.
Bruce.
So things that I do almost on a daily is it's breast work.
Mm.
I do lots of either breast reductions, breast augmentation, and breast reconstructions from breast cancer.
Mm.
And then also, like I said, you know, we operate from head to toe. So, but in terms of the common procedures I do, it's breast work, liposuctions, tummy tucks, mommy makeovers.
Oh.
I do a lot of those. And BBLs. I think it, from mid last year, it's become a season of BBLs almost.
Oh, yeah. Every it's BBL season.
In theater, there's a BBL. Yeah.
So you're a breast man.
Yeah, I'm a breast man. Mm-hmm. I love
favorite breakfast. I'm a man.
You know, even during my training in Cape Town, even our prof knew that any breast work will be the person to.
Does your wife ask for any procedures, or your partner?
Oh, yeah.
Not yet. Mm. But she's hinted that.
And would you?
After the case, she would have. Yeah,
like
would,
a mummy okay. thing.
Yeah, I would.
And then do you, also view people, sorry, like, you know, when you're just walking around, are you looking at people how, oh, I could fix this, I could do this for you? Do you kind of view the world in that manner, or you just
the,
like...
The problem with my specialty, we have a trained eye.
Yes.
And it's gotten me into trouble a few times because I would make a comment with, you know, would be working in a mall and I'd say, okay... I could have done that nose better.
We give you permission. Look around.
Yeah, look around. Yes.
Yeah. Who do you think has done some work here?
Look around the room. It's first aid knock.
Yeah.
What can you fix, you know, from here? Obviously, I have a lot of fixing.
Yeah, so
I'm all yours, doctor. Here I am. What are you fixing here?
I'll start there. Your tummy.
With the tummy?
Oh. Yeah, tummy.
Oh, you're deaf. Okay.
Yeah. And also talking about fixing, you know, I get a lot of male patients who complain about breast size.
Oh, yeah.
What you call gynecomastia. So it does impact a lot on their psychology. Because
yes.
Some will say, man, I can't undress in front
men
of...
Men boobs.
Yeah, men boobs. That's another common thing. Yeah, yeah. And also in general, you know, males or females, I think... Also, you asked me about the psychology of cosmetics. On the flip side, you know, I think as a society we are very quick to judge that someone has gone for a procedure, and we stigmatize it.
Oh yeah.
And then you know, it's very important to, as a society, to start understanding that people go through a lot psychologically. You can imagine you were 21 and you had this perfect body. And now you have two kids and then you're out of shape and it's affecting your marriage. Mm-hmm. It's affecting you psychologically.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come to me, I transform you. You have your life back. I've changed your life, basically. And then I've helped you from being depressed, from being suicidal.
Wow. Mm.
Some people take their own lives.
Yeah.
So I think that's important as a society, that before we start judging, you need to understand
the person's journey. Yeah.
Correct.
Is there any counseling involved? Because the counter of what you're saying is someone who was hot in their 20s or in varsity, banging body, three kids later, then they abasafani, right?
Yeah.
And then they go back, come to you, and you reverse the hands of time, essentially.
Correct.
And then she's fine. I said, "Alu papa," and she's just wild. Do you you know when you win the lottery, they give you counseling.
Yeah.
Because now you've got this thing that maybe you've never had, and you need to deal with it. There's a mental psychological effect to it.
True. Yes. So there are resources available for that, and you as a primary surgeon also, that's your role also to carry the patient through that process also. And that, hence, that's why there's a number of consultations before you do the
op.
And then also, brilliant, after the op, also you have to coach them
those
through.
Things to assist. Yeah.
But you never answered. Would you work on your partner?
Yes, I said I would.
You would,
yeah. No, I would. Because I understand the psychological benefit of that.
Yeah.
Mm. Because, yeah.
And then what would you change on me? There's nothing to change. Really
fine. Forehead. Fine.
I'll just change
the back. Forehead. How
fucking massive.
You can bring the marker.
I'm kidding, dog. Forehead.
Doctor,
fine, bro.
Thank you so much, man. This has been so informative,
man. Thanks, doc.
No, thanks
and
for coming,
also,
man.
I brought you guys some samples of my own skin products.
Oh, you got your
Yeah.
Oh, dog, please bring.
Bring it, man.
Made for the African skin.
Yes. When did you launch this?
Hey, fam, thank you.
It's been...
Here you go, doc. You'll tell us what these are.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Medi-L. By Lelala.
Yeah.
Lelala.
By Dr. Bruce Lelala.
Yes.
So
tell us more about this.
Yes.
By Dr. Lelala.
So from, you know, the beginning of my training in plastics, you know, we get trained through the process of aging and understanding cosmetics and beauty and stuff. So I looked at what our African sisters were using and some of the products, you know, they were damaging to their skin. They had a lot of pigmentation.
Mm.
or like hyperpigmentation around the eye area, and it will just damage the skins. And I looked at the products. Most of the leading products are products that were made overseas.
Yes.
And that's what people are using. But those products were not made for, you know,
the black skin.
Yes,
100%.
So I saw that similarly.
Yes. So I saw that gap, and I said, why not? I have the knowledge. I have the expertise.
Wow, shout out to you, man. How long have you had this for?
It's been 4 years now.
Oh, shout out, man.
Yeah.
And where can people get this? Are you at the...
So they can get this from my practice in Hyde Park, another practice called Aisa in Sandton, in Cape Town. And then...
Where
in
Cape Town?
Cape Town at Wembley and Waterfront.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, so it's hard for you to get into like...
The commercial.
Yes, it's the process.
Hey, bro, you know how tough it is to get into retail. The white people have got us by the balls.
They control it and they keep it to themselves, pretty much.
Yeah.
It's like with cool drinks, alcohol, similarly.
Hey, bro, I'm still struggling.
Can't get into Tops, and it's one of the most demanded gins in the country.
But we're still fighting, man. We're still fighting.
Fight on, bro.
Yeah.
And Mary's is my mother's name. So I made I named the products after her.
Shout out.
Maybe L is for Lilala.
Yes.
Oh, beautiful.
So this is for the face. This I've got the facial.
Yes. So that's a face wash.
Here's the face wash.
So that's
face
a routine wash. In fact, in total, we have about 10 products.
Nice.
Like a skin range. So we have face wash, a toner, a moisturizer, exfoliator, a charcoal face mask, and a body lotion.
Nice.
Basically, yeah.
Nice.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Nice. Beautiful.
And what's the question for about the lotions like you have and all these products?
Yes.
What should black people just stay away from? You know, we get your retinol and this and that, these things that we hear with all these products that are out there in the market. What is actually a no-go for black people?
So, so I wouldn't mention, I want to mention brands.
Not even brands, just like maybe
the contents,
ingredients
that you should avoid. So, as we have black skin, so the skin is measured into five. So, it's called Fitzpatrick 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Mm-hmm. So, the white people fall under 1 and 2 mostly, and some. Like Indian people, there'll be three. So blacks fall under 4 and 5.
Okay.
So the products that Fitzpatrick 1 and 2 uses, like you said, retinols and so forth, it's good for their skin.
Oh.
And in terms of chemical pills as well, you can't use a pill that you're going to use on a Fitzpatrick 1 and 2 on a
black
skin.
Yeah.
So that's very important. So our skin responds differently.
Oh.
And also, in terms of the melanin contents. So if you put a wrong product into our skin, that melanin overreacts. So you end up with scars and hyperpigmentation.
Yes, yeah.
And some products, you can actually lose the pigmentation.
Mm.
And that can become a problem, yeah. So it's important to... that. Hence why I started my own range. So I understand the black skin and these products are made for our skin type.
No. Look, I'm not attacking them, but they're a perfect example. Someone like Kanyumbao, now that they've gone all yellow and stuff, do they lose the benefits of melanin?
Correct, yes. They've lost that, you lose that.
So you fuck yourself up, essentially.
Hectic.
Yeah, true. Let's not buy face. Well...
And also, I
pay you to fix it up. But you know what I mean. Let's call a spade. It is what it is. Yeah, use the goods, man.
Doctor, thank you so much for coming through, man. Really appreciate it.
So much we've learned.
You know, this is these are the people that should be celebrated in society and worshipped. Us fucking podcasters.
You guys make a real difference.
Yeah.
People with breast cancer.
Mm.
One boob is you fix.
Yeah.
A kid
These are the
born,
real heroes.
A kid is more deformed, you fix. Yeah. And I think, and also your industry needs like a brand reshape.
Yeah.
Because all of us, when we hear plastic surgery, we think of people who want to look fancy for aesthetics. And but you guys actually help, and you build people, like, their esteem, self-esteem, psychologically. You know, when you're deformed as a kid growing up, it fucks you up. Yeah. But if your parents have the means to fix you, then you've got a healthy kid growing up to be whoever they were destined to be without the mental damage of
no bullying, no depression.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You guys are heroes,
man. Yeah, man.
Thank you, guys.
I wanted to say, where can people get you,
Oh, yeah. So my practice is based in Hyde Park, inside the Hyde Park corner.
Okay.
Oh, dope.
And and then I do my operations in at Sentin Intercare and also at Busamed.
Nice.
And then I have a website, www.drbrucelelala.co.za. And then on Instagram, it's just at Dr. Bruce Lelala.
Can we get commission? Because you're going to get a lot of patients now, eh?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, there must be a code somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. Like a promo code.
A young, promo code. Yeah, young.
10K pay operation.
Oh, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, make some noise for Dr. Bruce Lelala.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, man. I have a feeling we're going to have you back because there's still more questions that we didn't get to. But yeah, you know, you're a friend of the show now. So if Chillers want you back, we'll have you back. Thank you, man. Thank you so much, sir. Really appreciate your time.
Coming for that six pack, man.
We had here. Podcast and chill.
I'm coming too.
Welcome to Black Excellence. Do not fear. For if you do, just sip on some grandeur. And if you still do, ask ourselves, what would Mapapunzi do? Pagama chila, itlesha lefigi. Ungo yigi, even if when they ask you, how sabi yini, do not fear. For if you do, just say, anistivi. This is the medicine of censorship. This is the pill. Which one is that one? Podcast and chill.